Hello, my name is Whitney Brer, and thank you so much for tuning into this podcast this week. I'm a motivational speaker, I'm a trainer, an executive coach. It's my calling, it's my passion, and my purpose in life to use my positive mindset and my energy to create a ripple effect on those around me and help them create the changes they'd like to see in their lives. And this podcast is one platform to reach out to you. So if you're looking for some tips on to improve and grow your life, then stay tuned. Because the topic of this podcast is high-performing teams and the secrets behind them. And this is part two. If you missed part one, you might be interested in going back to my website and listening to the previous podcast, because this one adds on to what I talked about last week. So let's get started. Before I share the secrets of high-performing teams, I'd like to take you back in time about 15, 16 years ago. Back to the year 2003, when Professor Dr. Luzzatto from the University of Michigan, he made a bold claim. He said he had come up with the exact mathematical formula for teams which thrived and were in an upward spiral. An upward spiral and thriving means they're resilient, they're innovative, they're solution-focused, they're cohesive, they have each other's backs, they support each other, they've reached their goals, and basically, yes, they're high-performing teams. And he also had the formula for teams which were languishing or suffering and in a downward spiral, full of conflicts, high number of sick days, and people quitting or transferring out of the team, a lack of innovation, a lack of new ideas, and pretty much problem focus and stuck in a rut. And at the end of the day, he defined them as low-performing teams. I know which one of those two teams I'd like to be on, and I'm pretty sure I know which one you would as well. So before I show you his exact results, let me tell you how he went about coming up with the numbers. For years, Dr. Luzzatto had worked in industry, and he had been busy studying the characteristics of high-performing teams. He strived to help low-performing teams become more successful. And in order to come up with some tips for them, he decided to look at what highly successful teams were doing differently or better or not doing at all. So to go about experimenting, he built a special studio in his research labs. In his studios, he built a kind of a special mirror like you might see in an FBI show, where his assistants and his ongoing doctoral students were behind it. And behind it, they were standing there videotaping, recording, doing studies, and observing the teams that were coming into this meeting room. Because in his lab, which he set up, he had a kind of a simulated boardroom or a meeting room in any kind of average company. There was a meeting table in the middle. There were chairs around the table. There's a flip chart, a pin board, and place for a projector to show their slides. Sounds pretty average to me. But behind that mirror again, there was video analysis, computer analysis going on. And over several years, he invited 60 teams to come in and, hold an average meeting. That's it. And in this one-hour meeting they were asked to hold, he knew three things about each of the people and each of the teams before they came in to join this experiment. He had, number one, access to 360-degree feedback from each person sitting at that table. If you're not familiar with what that is, 360-degree feedback is feedback that these people had received from their supervisors, from their peers, and from people who reported to them, as well as customers and suppliers, if that was applicable. Okay, so number two, what else did he know? Well, show me the money. He knew the profitability of each team. And number three, he had access and they had run customer satisfaction surveys, either customers being suppliers or true customers who bought from them, or internal customers like business partners who interacted frequently with that team. So that was the three sets of data he used in his opinion, to decide before they even started the experiment which teams he judged to be high-performing, kind of middle of the road, and low-performing. When this was all over and he sat down and ran all the analysis, he came up with two things which set high-performing teams apart from everybody else. Number one, he called it the positivity ratio. What is that? Well, basically, it is a P to N ratio. The number of positive statements in this meeting in relation to negative killer statements that were used. He called it the positivity ratio. What is that? Well, P to N means the number of positive statements that were used in the meetings versus the number of negative statements that were said. Does that mean you have to sugarcoat everything and pretend everything's great when it's not? No, he said. The positivity ratio basically explains how people talk to each other. Statements like, oh, that's an interesting idea, or I haven't thought of that before. Okay, good idea. Thank you. Very simple statements which encourage people to speak up and talk. Versus statements like, I think that's too expensive. I don't think the workers' council is going to approve that. Okay, that's the positivity ratio. We'll go back to that in just a moment. The second thing that he came up with was what we call the assertiveness scale. And this measured the number of open questions that people ask each other. Things like, what do you think? You've lived in Japan before. Can you tell us your opinion on that? Would you like to share your idea with us? Would you mind going into depth a bit more about your idea? I'm not quite sure I get it yet. So open questions, not closed questions where the answer is already implied. So open questions versus I statements. I statements is this assertiveness and this courage to say what you think. I think, I believe, I'd like to, I want to, I'm of the opinion. So at the end, the secret of high-performing teams, at least according to what Dr. Lozado said, if you listen to these two things, the positivity ratio and this kind of assertiveness, courage to speak up versus also the humility to ask open questions and ask for more information. They all boil down to communication. It all boils down to how people talk to each other. How do people in your teams talk to each other? It's not just about your meetings that you have each week. How do you talk to each other in the office? In the emails? Phone calls? On the way to the cafeteria? In the coffee break? How do you as a team talk to each other? The positivity ratio of high-performing teams was in this initial study. These teams had a ratio of 6 to 1. 6 positive statements for every critical statement. These were the teams that were flourishing. And these were the teams, according to Dr. Lozado and Dr. Barbara Fredrickson from the University of North Carolina, that stated these teams were able to reach an upward spiral. And even in times of uncertainty or change or threats, volatility, these teams remained agile. These teams pulled each other up instead of pulling each other down. 6 positive statements, encouraging, appreciating, supporting each other versus 1 critical one. Middle of the road teams had in this initial study a positivity ratio of 2 to 1. 2 positive statements for every critical statement. And the lowest performing teams that were really in this downward spiral of negativity and being pessimistic and lack of innovation and high number of sick days, high number of people quitting or transferring out of the team and taking their knowledge with them. They had a ratio of 2 to 5. 2 positive statements for every 5 critical ones. So what's the positivity ratio in your team at the moment? How do you each talk to each other? Interestingly, the positivity ratio led to something that Dr. Barbara Fredrickson and Dr. Lozado later called the tipping point. And this is this magical point, like a seesaw in a children's playground. This tipping point is this magical point where a team can tip upwards to an upward spiral, or it takes one statement, one look, one comment, one person rolling their eyes for the team to tip into a downward spiral. Lozado, being a mathematician originally, was pretty exact in this. He said the tipping point is 2.9013 to 1. Whew, what? Let's round that up to 3. The tipping point is 3 to 1. Dr. Lozado's study, and this was later followed up in multiple studies which confirmed these numbers, said that teams that did not have at least a positivity ratio of 3 to 1, 3 positive, supportive, appreciating statements for every critical statement, were on the verge of going downwards into a downward spiral. It took a minimum amount of 3 to 1 to stay going up into this upward spiral. Remember, high-performing teams in this study that were already way up in this spiral and overcoming adversity, taking challenges and uncertainty together, having each other's back, having lively, heated debates where there was no fear to speak up. These teams had a ratio of 6 to 1. The minimum for overcoming this point is 3 to 1. And this 3 to 1, Barbara Fredrickson in her book, Positivity, which I highly recommend. If you have not read that book yet, it's a must read. It's a must read. Positivity from Barbara Fredrickson. In this book, she describes this 3 to 1 as a magical number where like water goes from being fluid to being frozen. Just as 0 degrees Celsius is an important number in thermodynamics, she argues the 3 to 1 ratio is an important, it's a critical number in human psychology. And in this particular case, it's a critical number that shows teams that flourish versus teams which languish and suffer and wind up with 0 motivation. You know, and she says there are no supernatural powers at work here. And yet the simple truth is shockingly simple. And it's all based on scientific research and evidence that's been collected over the years. And this magical number of 3 to 1, it boils down to how we talk to each other, how we treat each other. Because remember, the second thing in his study that was revealed was the ratio of the number of open questions versus the number of I statements. And did you know what these high-performing teams had in this study? The highest-performing teams had a ratio of 1 to 1. 1 open question for every assertive I statement. It's kind of like a Wimbledon tennis match, if you can imagine it that way, in a meeting. I ask a question and you give me your honest answer. You ask another question and someone else answers. It's like a ball that kind of travels around the meeting room. It's a high balance of asking questions, and it's a mix of humility and needing to know more information before you make a value decision versus I statements. I think, I believe, I'd like to, I want to, I support, dot, dot, dot. And the second thing of open questions versus I statements, it really comes down here to how people and teams truly listen to each other. Not simply just not interrupting and not just patiently or impatiently waiting for someone to stop talking so you can jump in. No, it's about asking questions and really listening to the answers. In these teams, when someone voiced their opinion, someone listening could paraphrase or summarize what they heard the person just say. If you really are honest with yourself, when you're listening to someone talk in meetings or in your office, and they're expressing their opinion, are you mindful of what they're saying? Or is your mind full and somewhere else? Could you really, truly paraphrase what someone else had just said? It doesn't mean you're of their opinion, but if you can truly paraphrase, you get the gist, you get the essence of what they're trying to get at. And when you can do that, the person you're talking to, the person who's talking to you, feels understood. They feel like you're listening. And they can probably do the same thing with you. You express your opinion. Can they then paraphrase or summarize what your opinion is and what you just said? Very interestingly, the second point in Lozado's study from 2003 underscores the results of the Google study that I talked about in podcast number one about high-performing teams, part one. Remember, in Google, number one on their list for their high-performing teams was psychological safety. And psychological safety, once again, is a climate, it's an atmosphere in a team where people not only have the courage to speak up, they want to speak up, and there's no danger lurking there of people rolling their eyes or sighing or talking about them when they're not there later in the coffee break room or chatting about them online. Psychological safety is a climate in a team where people thrive, where teams grow, people talk to each other, and they have each other's backs. And that is exactly what 15 years before Lozado and Fredrickson proved. That is the ratio of the amount of open questions compared to my assertiveness, my courage to speak up. Both studies, Google study starting in 2015, which wrapped up in 2018, and the one in 2003 from Lozado Lozado, both of them say high-performing teams, the secret to success, is not the number of PhDs you have on a team, the number of MBAs, the number of extroverts and introverts, ethnicity, gender, whatever. High-performing teams have one thing in common. They listen to each other. They truly listen, and they work in a climate that they are encouraged, and they have the courage to speak up and the humility to ask questions when they don't understand. And they use a positive climate, and that's the positivity ratio for teams. 3-1 is that tipping point. You're thinking, well, that sounds really great, Whitney, but what can I do? Just like the tipping point for water to go from frozen to fluid or fluid to frozen, every single statement that comes out of your mouth counts towards that ratio. Can you make someone be nice to you? Can you make them talk more positively? No. But is your language and your attitude infectious? Is it contagious for people around you? You bet. Sometimes it only takes one person to turn that ship around. And maybe that one person is you. And if you do have pessimists or negative attitudes on your team, you may also take a step back and rethink those people. Why do they feel they have to be like that? I would bet my bottom dollar that people with a high negative and a very pessimistic view are like that because they don't feel people listen to them. They don't feel listened to, truly listened to, appreciated, valued. That negativity comes from some lack of a need they have that's not being met. People don't start out like that in teams. They become that over time. And it can take a simple change of questioning, maybe on your part, to turn them around. So that's my thought for this week. Go back into your companies now and think. Think about your own language and listen. How do people talk to each other? And how do you contribute to that positivity ratio? Every single statement counts. So go out there and grow your life, grow your team, and have a wonderful week. And thank you again so much for taking your time to listen today. If you'd like further support or more information about trainings and coachings and keynote speeches that I do, please contact me at www.whitneybrayer.com. There's a contact site there and other podcasts, other information about me, and we'd love to help you any way we can. And have a great day.